live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Monday, May 20th, 2019 to you all. I really hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I certainly did. I was out in Chicago. I love Chicago. One of my favorite cities. Visiting my brother from another mother. Well, two of them. The homies Will and Johnny had a great time out there. Back in the saddle, ready to get back at it, though. You know, it's Monday. Made the drive. Probably hit the road probably around, what, like 6 a.m.? And then as soon as I got in town, began prepping a pretty fun Monday show. Filled with a lot of drama, some surprise, and what I know is going to be some debate. Without a doubt. You know, this is going to be a juicy edition of Monday's current sports. All right. On the docket today, I will address a story that broke over the weekend. Well, actually, this news actually came across on Wednesday of last week. And more details came out about it in the coming days that follow Wednesday. But L.J. Scott, the former Michigan State running back, he has been waived by the Cleveland Browns. But there is another layer to this story that I will get to. I'll just leave that there for now.
Finito. Right?
Yeah. Talk about a tease. I'll just say there's another layer to this story that was very, very surprising. And thank you for that. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Yeah, finito. L.J. Scott is, he may be done, folks. I'll explain. Also, as if the drama with the Los Angeles Lakers could not get any juicier. Well, Irvin Magic Johnson. That's right, the Basketball Hall of Famer, Michigan State hoop great, who is an uber successful businessman. As we all know by now, Magic Johnson, he decided to step down as the president of basketball operations with the Los Angeles Lakers. He stepped down. It was pretty controversial because he didn't give anybody a heads up. And yes, that includes Jeannie Buss, the owner of the team. And he just stepped down and you know, held a press conference in the hallways of the Staples Center. And then chucked up the deuces and said, I'm out. That's it. I'm done. And we have not heard Magic elaborate further on why he decided to step down until today. In an exclusive interview with ESPN's First Take, headlined by Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, Magic Johnson came into the studio, ESPN Studios, and sat down with those two and explained what happened and gave us some new insight into why he stepped down as the Lakers president of basketball operations. And
just so disrespectful for you to say something like that.
right on cue there, Jack, with Stephen A. But yeah, and it's juicy. It's pretty juicy. All right, I'll comb through those details later on this hour. And then we'll have weekend winners for you, and I'll elaborate on what it will go down as, what goes down in my book as one of the biggest knockouts in boxing history. And also I want to give a shout-out to the PGA Championship winner, the great Brooks Koepka,
and the four rounds that he put together, even though it did look a little iffy, right, on Sunday, you know, those four straight bogeys, you're sitting there watching like, uh-oh, Dustin Johnson may catch him. But at the end of the day, Brooks Koepka was able to hold down the fort and hoist up the PGA Championship trophy at Bethpage Black. All right, so I'll save that praise for weekend winners. If you would like to be a part of this Monday edition of Current Sports, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. You can also weigh in on social media. We have the New Look live stream up and running there. You can comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I'll start here with LJ Scott. 2 days after signing as an undrafted free agent with the Cleveland Browns, well, the former Michigan State running back, he is no longer with the Browns. The team made that announcement on Wednesday of last week, and after not getting drafted in the NFL draft, Scott had agreed to join the Baltimore Ravens and attend the team's rookie minicamp earlier in May. But again, this is just kind of some shocking stuff because LJ Scott has said that he is completely done with the game of football. Yeah, he is no longer going to play the game of football, period. So, yeah, I'll have more thoughts on that in just a moment. If you want to weigh in, again, 517-355-WKAR. How surprised are you at this news that LJ Scott has decided to hang up the cleats for good after not being drafted? And apparently, and again, I'll bring more details to this story, but you know, apparently LJ Scott, he just did not show up to team workouts. So yeah. All right. Ian Stewart, a 6'3", 200-pound wide receiver from Gibraltar Carlson. He has committed to play football at Michigan State, making that announcement in a post on his Twitter account on Saturday night. Stewart is a three-star prospect. He chose the Spartans over Kentucky, Purdue, and West Virginia. He is ranked as the number 15 overall prospect in Michigan and in the 2020 class, the number 92 wide receiver prospect in the nation. So, again, Ian Stewart committing to Michigan State football. All right, Michigan State baseball was topped by number 23 Illinois 5-3 on Saturday afternoon in a sun-bathed McLean Stadium on the Spartans' senior day. And with the loss, the Spartans finished with a record of 20-34 on the season. All right, to some golf news when it comes to Michigan State. Women's golf, Michigan State's Allison Gear Park and Halen Harris completed the second round of the NCAA Women's Golf Championships yesterday at the Blessings Golf Club out in Arkansas. Following Saturday's suspension of play due to inclement weather, Gear Park finished with a 4-over-par 77, while Harris shot a 2-over-par 75. Gear Park is tied for 42nd place at 7-over-par 153, while Harris is tied for 57th at 9-over-par 155 total for her. And speaking of inclement weather, due to weather conditions, Michigan's NCAA softball regional final was postponed until today at noon. So that game is getting underway right now in Ann Arbor against James Madison. The game was originally scheduled for a 5 p.m. first pitch yesterday, and if Michigan loses the rematch against the Dukes of
James Madison. The two teams will play again at 2:30 p.m. for the right to go to the Super Regional. It will be Michigan's first appearance since 2016. So we'll get you an update, a score update on Michigan and James Madison underway right now out in A Square. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Oh, boy. We kind of knew this was coming, right? I mean, we all knew that hot start that they had to the season, at the end of the day, not really a true indicator when you look at the roster of what this Tigers team truly is. And looking at what happened over the weekend for the Tigers against the Oakland Athletics, well, as we all know, in Game 1, they were just pounced on. 17-3, the final against the A's there. Then on Friday, the Tigers fell to the A's 7-2. And then on Saturday, they also lost 4-1. And yesterday's game was suspended. So, and Jack, do they play today? Does that mean they play today, right?
I believe they play today, but not against Oakland. That game will probably get bumped to the end of the season. No, they actually have a day off today. They host the Miami Marlins tomorrow. But I would say yesterday's game was mercifully suspended as the Tigers were outscored 28-6 in the three games prior to that.
Right. And I like what Jack put in my my reading notes for today when it comes to this subject. Update, they stink. 6 straight losses, now 18-26 on the season. Always, I love Jack, because, you can always keep it real.
I mean, how can we spend 4 graphs talking about Daniel Norris's pitching performance? This team stinks. Hopefully there are going to be some good prospects at the top of the draft, because that's where the Tigers will be picking. I'll check in on them at trade deadline time. We'll see what they do.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you. Yeah, save time, brother. Just get right to the point, right? Okay, a quick update when it comes to the NBA and NHL playoffs. Yesterday, we saw the Toronto Raptors beat the Milwaukee Bucks 118-112. That is one that did go into extras. In an update on that series, that was Toronto's first win of the Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee still leads that series 2-1. And the St. Louis Blues, they shut out the San Jose Sharks 5-0 the final there. The Blues lead that series 3-2. And how about Deontay Wilder? My goodness, that was and you know, it, for me, we were trying to watch this fight. I was out in Chicago and we were at this nice little rooftop spot. And we're like, all right, we're going to leave here early and then see if we can catch the fight. Next thing you know, I whip out my phone and the fight already happened and Deontay Wilder had knocked out Dominic Brazil in the first few moments of the fight. Just unreal. Unreal. Deontay Wilder, and he said he called a shot on here and it definitely came to fruition, didn't it? But Dominic Brazil, he said all the right things in the build-up to Saturday's heavyweight title bout at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. But Deontay Wilder's explosive right hand ultimately made all the bad blood share between them a moot point as Wilder, who goes to now 41-0-1, 40 knockouts. Yes, the man has 41 wins, 40 by way of KO. He added another violent finish to his career. This may be the best KO of the 40. Because he struggled at first, too, in the early part of round one. He struggled, but just caught Brazil with just a shot that sent shockwaves throughout the world of sports. I couldn't believe how quickly that fight ended. But, again, it was a brutal one-punch KO at the 217 mark of round one. Wilder made the 9th defense of the WBC title he originally captured in 2015. And can we just cut to the chase now? Can we finally see Anthony Joshua take on Deontay Wilder? That will be the biggest heavyweight fight since probably the Klitschko brothers. Probably even back to Mike Tyson. This, if they fight, finally, that will be the biggest matchup since Tyson days in the heavyweight division. But, wow, I'll have more on Wilder later on. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we got a lot to talk about today. I'm going to get to Magic Johnson.
in the ESPN interview. It happened around like 10 a.m. today. So, again, if you're a working person, you probably didn't see that interview live. I'm sure you've probably read a bit about it by now. But if not, I'll give you the details on that. You'll get my thoughts. We'll have weekend winners for you. But we start with some interesting news concerning a former Michigan State football player. Again, if you're just now joining us here, 15 minutes into the hour, happy Monday to you all. It's a bit of a chilly one, you know, like in the 40s. It'll get in the 50s, but that's it. But happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to you. Jack Kerwin is the man behind the glass engineering today's show. Jack, did you have a good weekend, man, before I proceed here?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I worked a double shift on Saturday at the restaurant I work at. And yesterday was pretty laid back, though, so can't complain about that. Just doing some work for Jack Ebling. You know how it is. Fox awesome. 47, man. Yeah, press pass.
The grind is real, baby.
You got to get back on that show pretty soon, eh?
Yeah. Well, we actually booked a few dates throughout the summer. I sent them to Jack, and I'm looking forward to getting back. I haven't been on that show in a while.
No, it's been a minute.
It's been a while. It's been a while. So, yeah, always love coming on press pass with Jack and the crew and, you know, debating various sports topics. So that's awesome stuff. Yeah, a lot of people know. I mean, Jack is everywhere. He's holding it down a regular job while engineering current sports, working with Jack. I mean, he is all around town. So appreciate your hard work, Jack. Last week, I was off Thursday and Friday, so I spent 4 days out in Chicago. If my voice sounds a bit hoarse, I apologize. And that's the thing. Has this ever happened to you, Jack, when you're out hanging out with the homies and you go to these places where they are, like, blasting music just and you have to, like, to have a conversation, you have to, like, scream, you know? You can't just talk in a normal voice, you know, at the bar or at, you know, wherever spot you're at. And, you know, we went to multiple places where you're just like, hey, yeah, it's great time. And next thing you know, I wake up, my voice is just like, oh, my gosh, my voice is hurting. So, yeah, if I'm a bit hoarse, that's why. So apologies on that front. But let's get right to it now. I want to talk about the LJ Scott story because this is pretty shocking. Can't even front, man. LJ Scott is a player who is well known because in the land of Spartan football for you fans out there, because again, he's a player that's not too far removed at all from playing right down the street at Spartan Stadium. And, you know, for me, and I did call myself out on this. I remember when we were debating, you know, which Spartans were going to be taken in the NFL draft, and I said, you know what, LJ Scott, if he has a good combine, you know, I could see him taken in the late second or third round, as a late second or third round pick. And, yeah, I was totally wrong on that. So, after he does not get drafted, and, you know, I knew this news is going to come around because we see that happen a lot with Spartans who are seniors or who decide to leave early for the National Football League. If they don't get drafted, we do see them on, you know, on the roster somewhere in the NFL as either making the practice squad or signing a temporary undrafted free agent deal, something like that. So that's exactly what happened with LJ Scott. And, you know, Scott, he was signed by Cleveland, the Browns, as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, his chances of making the final roster were really slim at best. But still, you know, thought he was going to at least compete to try and get on that roster. And, heck, you look at the roster for the Browns. I mean, we're talking like Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, Kareem Hunt. Right? I mean, those are the type of guys that are playing the same position as L.J. Scott rocking the Cleveland Browns jersey. So, the chances he was going to make a roster, very, very slim. But at least, like, compete, right? But no, L.J. Scott, he decided that not only is he not going to show up for workouts, and you know, for L.J., it just took, what, a few OTA sessions for him to eventually decide that pro football is not for him. L.J. Scott has quit the game of football. And, you know, one of the first tweets that came out announcing this news, this comes from Dana Baelish, who is a reporter out there in Ohio for WFMJ. He tweeted out, quote, "Source close to L.J. Scott tells me L.J. has decided to not play football and has left the Browns," the hashtag Browns. That's pretty shocking stuff. You know, I feel like for L.J., let's just go back to his MSU career, right? L.J. Scott had a lot of potential here at Michigan State. But we all know what the big bugaboo was. He could not take care of the football. And that's like the first rule of being a running back, right? Don't cough the football up and give the opposition field position and a chance to score. You just can't do that as a running back. Your job is to run the football and take care of the football. And L.J. Scott had a, you know, he had butterfingers, and that caused Spartan Nation to quickly turn on him. Criticism was high, and it was justified because you're a running back. Take care of the football. L.J. Scott, I'm sure, heard that noise. He heard that criticism. I remember specifically asking L.J. Scott about his fumble problems, and he didn't like roll his eyes, but you could tell that he was annoyed. It kind of like went half up, then he came back down and said, "All right, let me just answer this question. Stay professional." and I get it, because everybody's asking you this from a media standpoint. I'm pretty sure L.J. Scott has Twitter, right? I believe, Jack.
Yeah, he had it private for a while, but I believe it's public again. Yeah, he has Twitter.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he heard that noise on Twitter as well. You know, it kills me when, and that's why if I was an athlete, especially a college athlete, many of them are still kids. They're not grown yet. I would not have Twitter. I would go the Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum, Naren Jr. route and just say, look, I don't have to deal with this. I got enough on my plate as a college athlete. It's basically like working 2 9-to-5 jobs. And if I go out there and have a bad game, I know that I'm going to get highly criticized and people are going to be hopping in my DMs or messaging me and adding me. I don't need that in my life. I don't need that drama.
I'll take it one step further. I don't think any pro athlete should really have a Twitter outside of for like charitable events or like business
engagements.
Or if
you have a business, right? Yeah. I was just about to say that. If you have a business, it makes sense from a branding standpoint and about getting that brand out there. But you know, if you're just an athlete and you know a big time athlete, why have Twitter? You know, and if you do have it, you know, set it private, I guess, where you and turn off your notifications.
Or have someone else run it.
Or have somebody else run it. Right, exactly. Or and set it up where you're not getting notifications like that. Now, it would be kind of good. Cool, though, Jack. Can't front here. If you, like, hit a game-winning bucket or scored a game-winning touchdown. Oh, yeah, I'm turning on those notifications. I want to see the praise on a moment like that. But, you know, if you're L.J. Scott and you had those fumble problems and you are on Twitter and people are attacking you on Twitter, I'm sure many Spartan fans did, you know, that weighs on you. Even though you say it doesn't, that weighs on you. You're still a kid. You're in college, and you're just trying to do your best, and you got, I don't know, Dan from Lansing just going at you for fumbling the football. So, and that, it just kind of, it just stayed with him. That criticism stayed with him. You know, he decided to stay for last season. And just was not, and we all know how bad MSU football was as a whole, you know, with the exception of the defense.
You could go as far as to say they stunk.
Yeah, you could say they did stink.
Jack. They definitely did. The always that is like Jack's favorite word. Stink.
Well, but they, you and stink. I and Connor had that debate at the beginning of the year last year. After the loss against Arizona State, you and Connor laughed at me. And look at that. They stunk.
They did. You know, you called your shot there, and, yeah, they ended up stinking. I was like, it's way too early. You know, it's like that was like game two of the season, so I didn't want to go there. But, yeah, they stunk. And LJ didn't have a great year. I thought that, you know, if he had a great combine, because I think that these NFL GMs and owners and coaches put way too much stock in the combine. But I thought if LJ had a good combine, maybe he could sneak somewhere. You know, as a late second, early third, I was totally wrong. And a lot of that was speaking from the fact that, you know, we've seen a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's come from a program like Michigan State, playing the same position, have immense success at the next level. But Le'Veon Bell and LJ Scott, not the same. One of these things is not like the other, right? So, but the fact that LJ decided to just quit football, I think, when you look at this and put everything in perspective and you look at all the criticism that he had when he was here at Michigan State, and you look at him not getting drafted, you look at him, you know, signing with the Browns, and you got Chubb, Johnson, and Hunt already on that roster. Man, that's stressful. You know, that's stressful. And I just think that LJ Scott, and this is one of those stories that, you know, really makes you look at athletes in a different way from the standpoint of, yes, they are human. They're human. And I think that the stress just got so high for LJ that he said, look, man, I'm worn out. I don't feel like doing this anymore. My heart's not in it anymore. At a certain point, your heart doesn't get in it. And, you know, I've had a few conversations this morning with some people I know, and they brought up how, you know, we're knowing more and more about CTE and football. Maybe they had something to do with it. I don't know. But if I had to guess, when looking at LJ Scott's career dating from here at Michigan State and looking at this news, if I had to put my finger on the reason why LJ Scott quit, why he's quitting the game of football, I would have to guess that the love is gone. He does not enjoy doing this anymore. It is far too stressful, and he wants to turn the page and have a fresh start in some other field. So it's so crazy, though, because you look at Scott's, you know, early career. I thought he was becoming one of the country's top running backs at Michigan State. You know, he had, 994 yards, 6 touchdowns as a sophomore in 2016. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry.
He was the only bright spot of that whole 3-9 team.
He really was. He really was, Jack. You know, those are solid numbers there. Solid numbers. But again, he just never seemed to take that next step. He just couldn't take that next step in his development. You know, he managed just a total of 1,162 yards, 8 scores in 2017 and 18 combined. So, you know, I'll ask this question before we hit the final break, Jack. If he decided to, if he had a change of heart here and said, you know what, all right, let's give it another shot, you know, and try with a different team. Do you think that LJ Scott is an NFL running back? Could he make maybe like, you know, because the shelf life of a running back in the NFL is like an average of like 2 to 3 years. For LJ Scott, could he manage to play 2 or 3 years in the NFL somewhere?
I mean, it's possible, certainly. I mean, not as a number one running back, probably not even as a number two running back. But could he stick somewhere for a couple of years? Yeah, I suppose I could see it. You know, I mean, Joik Bell was a running back for the Detroit Lions for a few years, right? I mean, guys can find a way to grind out careers, especially at the running back position, because there's just such a high demand for guys. But, I mean, it goes back to a discussion we had a week and a half or so ago, probably after the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Probably a little longer than that, actually. But, I mean, LJ Scott doesn't fit the mold of a traditional, or not a traditional, but the new wave of running back in the NFL. Because, I mean, you can't really use him in the passing game. He's really just a downhill between the tackles runner. And
which is better suit for, like, you know, short yardage situations.
Sure.
A short yardage running back.
It's a premium skill, if you will. I mean, he's not versatile enough to really stick as like a standout running back to me in the NFL. I mean, could he still have a career if he decided to come back? Yeah, maybe, but I don't foresee it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. I really do.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know? I think you're probably pretty spot on with your thoughts on why he's leaving. I don't know. LJ has always been kind of, I don't know if introverted's the right word, but he's always kind of kept to himself. He's always been pretty quiet.
He's always real chill. When you interview him, he's just real, hey, what's up, everybody? You know what I mean?
So, yeah, so it's like it's kind of hard for me to get a read on him exactly, right?
Right, exactly. Again, that's just a guess. You know, if I had to guess, that would be it. That would be it. I just think he got so much criticism when he was here at Michigan State, and that stuff just wears on you. And then, you know, you're trying to fight for your life as an NFL running back, and, you know, you look at the roster in Cleveland. So I wish him the best, man. I would love to have LJ Scott here on Current Sports to talk about why. And maybe we can set that up soon. But LJ, wishing you the best regardless of this decision, man. And I'm sure there's a lot of love from Spartan Nation, from some Spartan fans out there. All right. So let's hit our first break. When we come back. Oh, yeah, it gets even more juicier here on Current Sports as we talk about the Magic Johnson ESPN interview. It's his first time talking since he held that media scrum, deciding to step down as the president of basketball operations with the Lakers. We'll talk about that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Monday. Getting some comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says, we think that LJ Scott has mental issues besides the issues that he had when he played here at Michigan State. But it's hard to say. It's sad to know that he has given up football altogether despite the injuries and not getting drafted. But his issues on and off the field may have something to do with it. Ben believes, I don't know about mental.
I don't think that's fair.
That's not fair.
I don't think we should speculate on a person's mental condition.
No. I'm with you, Jack. No. But LJ Scott having... Was LJ involved in any like trouble away from the field?
Well, I mean, he'd been pulled over several times for driving without a license and all that.
Driving without the light, right? I mean, and that's just LJ. Because I remember we did have that whole discussion here on Current Sports, and that's a whole separate issue than what we're talking about with football here. So, and also I want to give a shout out, getting some comments here from my guy VDOT. He says, "Hey Al, Deontay Wilder is a monster, isn't he?" I mean, and the dude is kind of crazy, isn't he? But you kind of got to be crazy to box, you know. You kind of have that fearlessness. Not everybody's born with that, you know. Crazy is not the word. You got to have. I don't know what the word I'm searching for.
No, it is crazy. You got to be fearless, but you also got to be a little crazy to box, I think.
Crazy, I think. Yeah. Maybe that is the right word.
You know what I mean? I mean, using boxing as training, I think, can help a lot. I mean, the Red Wings coach, Jeff Blashill, talked about it. It can help you, like, overcome fear and fear of failure. But to actually box for a living, you got to be confident, but you also got to be a little crazy, I think.
You do. You have to. You know, and I think, you know, I think that's something you're born with in a way. Because I was watching, have you seen, oh my gosh, what's the name of it, Jack? It won an Oscar for Best Documentary. It's a sports doc about this guy who, like, free climbed one of the biggest mountains.
Oh, it's Alex Honnold is the climber's name. I can't remember what the documentary is called, but.
Have you seen it?
I don't know if I've seen that one. My religion class senior year, we watched a 60 Minutes on him.
He's unreal.
Yeah, he's going to die one day, though. That's just how free climbing works, man. It's crazy.
A lot of free climbers pass away, unfortunately, because they're free climbing. But he free climbed what many people believe to be the greatest sports accomplishment of all time. The mountain that he climbed in this documentary had never been free climbed before.
And I think it's called El Cap. Is the
El
mountain.
Cap. Yep. El Capitan, right? And he like had to map out, you know, all these positions on the mountain. Everybody thought he was crazy and had all this entire camera crew to film it. But anyway, there's a part of the documentary. This is the point I'm making. There's a part of the documentary that talks about how he got evaluated by a doctor and they scanned his brain and they compared it to a normal human brain and said that, yeah, you're missing the part that you know, you don't light up. The part of your brain doesn't light up when it comes to fear, which makes you a little different. You know what I mean? Like, he does not get afraid. And that was, like, medically proven. They scanned his brain, and they tried to stimulate fear, and nothing would come up. So it's crazy stuff. So I think that may be the same, you know, brain of a boxer. I don't know. But crazy stuff. Yeah, Deontay Wilder. And also, congratulations. VDOT is my fraternity brother, and I saw over the weekend that he got on bended knee and asked his beautiful soon-to-be wife, now fiance, Alana, to marry him. So congratulations, VDOT and Alana. Love you guys. See you soon. All right? Okay, Magic Johnson. Irvin Magic Johnson. As if this Los Angeles Lakers clown show, as if it couldn't get any worse. Well, it got a lot worse today. Magic Johnson, he sat down in an exclusive interview with ESPN's First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. And he just kind of opened up, man. It was like, you know, reminded me of like the Oprah Winfrey show or something. He just kind of like had a heart to heart with Stephen A. and Max and just kind of laid everything out on the table and gave us a peek behind the curtain as to the craziness that is the L.A. Lakers right now. So Magic said he abruptly left the Lakers in part because he felt betrayed by general manager Rob Pelinka. He said he heard from both employees within the Lakers and business partners outside the organization that Pelinka was bad-mouthing Irvin, insinuating that he wasn't working hard enough. And that irked Magic. This is what Magic had to say. Quote, I started hearing, Magic, you're not working enough. Magic's not in the office. People around the Laker office were telling me Rob was saying things. Rob Pelinka. And I didn't like those things being said behind my back. So, one point I want to make when it comes to that quote and Rob Pelinka bad-mouthing Johnson for the fact that he isn't working hard enough and not in the office. It's one of those things where you can think to yourself, but you don't say, especially within your organization. If you do say it within your organization, you say it to, you know, people who are in upper management, you know, not just to regular Lakers employees. That's not something you do. That's a bad look, you know? But we've thought about that, right? I mean, Magic, you know, he's everywhere and shaking hands, kissing babies. When it comes to the president of basketball operations job, and this is something that Magic talked about during that media scrum, it didn't suit his personality. He did not enjoy it. He's got other things that he wants to do, and that does include tweeting people, tweeting players. So, yeah, that was part of Magic Johnson's excuse, his excuse as to why he was stepping down. So Johnson also said that he didn't feel like he had the decision-making power that he needed. He cited the increasing influences of Joey and Jesse Buss, the brothers of owner Genie, as well as Lakers president of basketball operations, Tim Harris. So Magic is putting it all out on the table. Magic felt like, in a way, he was being basically micromanaged. You know, he's not able to make the decisions that he feels are the best for the organization. He's got Joey and Jesse and Genie trying to do that. And he said that the last straw was when he asked Genie for permission to fire Coach Luke Walton. Now, when looking at the Lakers, we all know that that was the right move. Luke is, look, don't get me wrong, I think Luke is a great coach, but he's just not the right coach for LeBron James and that organization. LeBron James and Luke Walton, in order for LeBron to be successful, he has to have his guy, quote unquote, to be in that head coaching position. You know, a guy who's going to answer to LeBron James, basically. I think that's that's very true. Luke just wasn't a fit. So Magic wanted to fire Luke, but it was given conflicting answers over the course of three different meetings. This is what Magic had to say. Quote, when I looked up and said, wait a minute, I only really answer to Genie Bus. Now I got Tim involved. I said, it's time for me to go. I've got things happening that were being said behind my back. I don't have the power that I thought I had to make decisions. And I told them, when it's not fun for me, when I think that I don't have the decision-making power that I thought I had, then I've got to step aside. Now, Johnson says that he has no regrets about leaving the team, nor the manner in which he left. He says that he is, quote, not a regretful person, end quote, and that his departure will not affect his relationship with LeBron James. Of course, Johnson helped recruit LeBron to the Lakers. And Johnson went on to say as well, quote, I could have done it a different way, yes, but I did it my way. And that doesn't take anything away from our relationship or how I feel about LeBron. Sometimes as a man or a woman, you've got to make decisions based on your own happiness. And sometimes you just have to go out and do your thing. And that's what I did. So Magic, very candid this morning on ESPN's First Take. Question, Jack. Do you have a problem with Magic spilling the beans on what happened when it comes to his situation and his relationship with Rob Pelinka and Genie Buss and her two brothers? Do you think he should have kept this to himself and not done this appearance on ESPN's First Take? Or do you like what he did, opening up and being transparent with everybody out there to clear up anything that may be foggy?
Well, knowing Magic Johnson, I don't think you could expect him to keep this to himself, obviously. Just the personality he is, I feel like he's going to talk about it. So from that standpoint, I'm not surprised at all. But, I mean, I don't know if he's doing the Lakers any favors by spilling the beans on this stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't think he's helping his old team by making all of this public. But I don't have an issue with it if Rob Pelinka was saying the things that, you know, Magic is accusing him of saying. I don't have an issue with him going public about it.
Right. And that's where I was going next. Because you can look at this in two ways. You can look at it and say, Magic, I mean, why you got to come out and... Because he's... And Magic says that he still loves the organization. I mean, he played with the Lakers. That's where he made his bread and butter, right? And a lot of people will look at this and say, Magic, you didn't have to do this. I mean, you know, why add more fuel to this raging fire?
Well, it certainly doesn't help the Lakers.
It doesn't help the Lakers, right. But I say, in response to that take, if somebody is talking behind my back, saying those kind of things, you know, if somebody was saying, man, you know, Al's never in the office, Al is not working hard enough, Al, blah, and especially in a public organization like the Lakers, and it's so bad there right now, yeah, I'm going to clear up my name. You know, I'm going to do an interview. I'm going to put it out there and say, look, man, this is what was being said behind my back. It was totally wrong. I was being micromanaged because, you know, let's be real. I mean, I think, you know, Magic Johnson, he's been kind of dragged for this move because of the way in which he decided to step down. And we can all agree here. It wasn't the best way to do that, right? You know, didn't call Genie. He just said, I'm about to hold an impromptu press conference, a media scrum, you know, in the hallways of the Staples Center. And this is how Genie is going to find out. I believe, and it, as the story goes, Genie was actually driving to the Staples Center for, I believe it was the Lakers' last game of the regular season. And she heard it on the radio and said, oh, no, I can't, I don't want to walk into that firestorm. Let me drive back home and process this. So yeah, that's not the right way to do it, especially if you say you have a great relationship, and she's like a sister to you in Jeannie, right? But I get why Magic was angry. Now, again, if this is true, again, it's just one man's account, but, you know, the credibility of Magic Johnson is pretty high. I believe him. And if this is true that, you know, you had Rob Pelinka talking behind his back and you had, you know, Jeannie and her two brothers micromanaging his decisions, yeah, I mean, why? Why would you stay? Why would you stay? So I had no problem with this interview. I thought that, you know, Magic, I watched a bit of it this morning. I thought he handled himself very well. Is, you know, that's Magic Johnson for you. You know, he's saying these things while giving you the magic smile and the magic charm. That's what he does. He just wanted to clear his name. This was about Magic Johnson's reputation. This was about clearing up anything that may have been gray. Any bad kind of dialogue that may have been out there about, you know, why he stepped down. This was about clearing all of that up. And it just, again, adds to an already unfortunate chapter to this Lakers organization. As I've stated many times, I can't bring up another example of a franchise so beloved, a franchise that is one of the faces of professional sports here in America. You know, like the Cowboys, like the Yankees, right? I can't bring up another example of a franchise like that is going through this kind of drama, that has gone through this kind of drama. Maybe the only franchise that comes close is maybe the New York Knicks. I don't know.
But they don't have that pedigree, the championship pedigree. I mean, they're obviously a flagship program, but they don't have the championship pedigree. Exactly. Breaking news. I have some cryptic tweets from some young Lakers players. Would you like to hear them?
Uh-oh. Yeah, please. Please read some cryptic tweets about this old Magic Johnson interview.
Hard to say for sure. I wouldn't think so, but I guess you never know. They are cryptic tweets. about 5 minutes ago, Kyle Kuzma tweeted, "All money in." And Lonzo Ball, noted bum point guard Lonzo Ball, who the Lakers drafted instead of De'Aaron Fox, just responded, "No money out." So who knows? Could that be about a free agent coming to Los Angeles? Who's to say?
If I had to guess, I think that may have to do with a free agent.
Free agent, you'd think, right?
And the only one, and I've been saying this for weeks now, the only one that I think the Lakers can land, because it came out this morning as well, this whole Anthony Davis situation, that an anonymous source said that Anthony Davis, when asked about the Lakers, said, over my dead body.
Yeah, that was the Pelicans owner said she would trade him to the Lakers over my dead body. That was awesome.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
That's awesome, right. So they're not getting AD. I don't think they're getting AD. The only other player I can bring up is probably Kyrie Irving. Maybe a LeBron James.
Kemba.
Kemba maybe, but he's not as big as as Kyrie. Kemba's good.
No, certainly not, but he is a marquee free agent in this class. Right. I could see Kemba in L.A.
The biggest one for me, I think, would be Kyrie Irving. They got to get Kyrie. And Kyrie, I think, wants to play with LeBron still.
Well,
what he said earlier this season about, hey, LeBron, he apologized in the middle of the regular season, like, hey, I'm sorry for being a knucklehead young player because I'm going through that now in Boston, which wasn't cool because you're calling out your teammates like that. But, and he did it publicly, but that shows me that, you know, and again, hindsight is 20/20, but it shows me that Kyrie still has a great deal of respect for LeBron and maybe would be open to playing with him again.
No, it wouldn't shock me. I would say one of Kyrie or Kemba, I think, is going to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I could very much see on the Lakers. But as far as the Celtics go, isn't it funny? You're saying hindsight is 20/20. Isn't it funny the 180 people have done on the Celtics in the last year?
Oh,
remember,
boy.
Brad Stevens a year ago was being anointed as better
basketball
than Greg
god.
Popovich.
Yeah, he was like a basketball god, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I still think he's a good coach, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
I mean, he's not the guy people thought he was, obviously. And Gordon Hayward, now coming off these injuries, looks like he's severely overpaid, and Kyrie's probably going to leave, and they're stuck with a bunch of good players and maybe only one guy who can be a great player in Jason Tatum.
Exactly. I'm with you, man, because, you know, you look at what happened with Boston in the playoffs this year, and you just say, wow. I thought when they got Gordon back, this team was going to be the team to really take over the East. And now looking at what Milwaukee's doing, and how about, my gosh, Kawhi Leonard was so good over the weekend. Well, he was so good yesterday. But very disappointing year. And I think, yeah, the perception is changing when it comes to Boston, Jack.
Because, I mean, you don't win championships in the NBA with a bunch of good players.
Right.
You win with a few superstars, few great players.
So true. So true. So, all right. I'll continue to read your comments on the other side of this final break. When we come back, I'll have weekend winners for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have under 10 minutes left, and we close out each and every Monday edition of the show with a segment that we call Weekend Winners, where we take a broader look at the sporting world and what happened over the weekend, you know, Friday evening into Sunday evening. Oh, I got to say this, too. I'm getting comments on it because some people are commenting and saying, Al, I know you're a huge Game of Thrones fan, and the show is now ended. It ended last night. I watched the finale with the homies. I'll just say this because of time. It was underwhelming. A show that epic had to go out better than what we saw last night. For once, out of this whole season, I thought people were just totally blown it out of proportion. They didn't like, you know, the final season. I have loved, absolutely loved this final season. But last night's series finale could have been a lot better. You know, when the credits started, I was like, what? Is that it? So if I had to give it, you know, a rating out of 10, I'm giving it a 5. I give it a 5 out of 10 rating. But Game of Thrones goes down as the greatest television show of all time, still. All right. Got that out the way. Weekend winners, here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down.
All right, I got two for you. I'm going with one, Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka is—he's really owning the PGA Tour right now, isn't he? This dude is amazing. He owns the tour. He's got what, 4 major victories coming in his last 8 major appearances. He has been incredibly dominant on the sport's biggest stages. What he did at Bethpage Black, especially watching that when he had a string of like 4 straight bogeys. And then what he said was, after he heard the crowd chanting Dustin Johnson's name, because he was nipping at Koepka's heels, that kind of motivated him, and he kicked his focus into high gear, and he ends up, you know, winning another major. It was truly remarkable to watch what he's done. And I think Koepka is a product of the whole Tiger Woods young generation phenomenon. Because you look at Brooks. Brooks is one of those guys. He's inspired by Tiger Woods, and watching Tiger, because Tiger was the first golfer to do this, to get in the gym at like an athlete, right? Like an athlete does. Get in the gym, lift weights, and equate that to the golf game. Maybe hit it farther, longer off the tee. You know, he's got that athletic build. He's always in the gym, and He is fun to watch. And I loved his cleats, by the way, his golf cleats. I got to get me a – I would just rock those on the regular. I would rock those to work. You know, I'd probably make a lot of noise. you hear me coming down the hall, but those things are really fly, Jack. And also Deontay Wilder. I gave him praise at the top of the show, and just a moment ago, I cannot say enough how entertaining that moment was in the world of sports. Deontay is a bit scary, you know, because he basically said, I mean, there's been bad blood between him and Dominic Brazil for a long, long time. A lot of words were said before the fight, and then you had Deontay basically saying, look, man, you know, boxing is not a gentleman's game. You know, it's the only sport where you're legally allowed to kill a man. Yeah, he said that. So why not go out there and try? Deontay Wilder's a scary guy. And that punch that landed on the skull of Brazil, wow. I mean, it was one of the best knockouts I've seen in a long, long time. So we got to see Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. Yeah, we get that fight done. I'm with you, Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, I think, tweeted out after the Wilder fight that that's the next fight we got to see. We got to see that. Got to see that fight. So Deontay Wilder is my next one. And with 1 minute left, I do want to pass along some breaking news. I am seeing this in my email. Two former Michigan State University women's basketball players are among seven people charged with making fraudulent claims to the college's Healing Assistance Fund. Between the seven individuals charged, they have 22 felony counts for fraudulent claims that led them to receiving more than $527,000 from the Healing Fund that was set up to provide counseling and support services to the victims of disgraced former sports doctor Larry Nassar. So just more negative Michigan State news. So I wanted to pass that along to you while I'm seeing that. My email's blowing up about it. So there you have that. You can check out the article on the Lansing State Journal sports page, or just page, period. Kara Berg has the piece. Okay, we'll see you Tuesday, folks. Have a great Monday afternoon and evening. Be easy, people.